Welcome to Shiur Targum Parshas Matos. The Shiur this evening is sponsored by Mrs. Esther Jacob, marking the yard site of her mother, Chaya Sarah Bas Aaron. Shalom Shalevan Aliyah, Shasim Oshnach Asurach, and the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the family is involved in. At the very end of yesterday's Shiur, I mentioned something briefly which I want to speak about at greater length today. In the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, when the Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain approach Moshe Rabbeinu and ask to be given their nachalah, their inheritance on the eastern side of the Yarden, so they describe their request as follows. They in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Gimel, Ataros v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon v'elolei u'sivam u'nevo'u v'on. They list off 9 cities or regions, and then they continue in Pasuk Dalet, Ha'aretz asher hikah Hashem lifnei Hadas Yisrael, Eretz Miknehi. This land, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has conquered and given over to Klal Yisrael, is a land which is very good for pasture, v'lavodecha mikneh, and we happen to have a lot of cattle. V'yomru imatzaru chen v'necha yutan es ha'aretz asos lavodecha l'achuza al tavi reinu es ha'yardeh. They say furthermore to Moshe Rabbeinu, if it would please Moshe Rabbeinu, we would like to take this land on the eastern side of the Yarden. We don't want to accept the Nachala on the western side of the Yarden. So the opening Pasuk Gimel, Ataros V'divon, is simply a list of 9 cities or regions before they get into the main part of their discussion. As we noted yesterday in passing, this pasuk, Ataros V'divon, makes an appearance in the Gemara in Brachos, when the Gemara describes the mitzvah midrabanan of being mavir sedra, the notion that a person has to do shayim rikra ve'echot targum every week. Banu chesam and aleph in Masech de Brachos, Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Ami, La'olam yashlim adam parshiyosev imatzibur. A person should always complete the parsha on his own, together with the tzibur. That is to say, every week you should go through the sedra on your own, whatever sedra is being laid in shul that Shabbos. Shnayim mikra vecho targum. You should go through it twice in the chumash and once in the targum, in the translation. Va'afilu ataros v'divon. And you should even go through this pasuk, Ataros v'divon, shnayim mikra ve'echo targum. What is the significance of Ataros v'divon, this particular pasuk, more so than any other psukim? Rashi writes here in Brachos, she'ein bo targum. There is no targum on the pasuk Ataros v'divon, says Rashi. Again, if you think about it, what is that pasuk? It's simply a listing of 9 different cities. So whatever Ataros is in Hebrew, it's the same thing in Aramaic. Whatever Divon is in Hebrew, it's the same thing in Aramaic. Tosfos comments on this, he quotes this Rashi. The Kasha. Tosfos says the Kasha. Amai nokar Ataros v'Divon. Shiesh lo mikomokom targum Yerushalmi. Why does the Gemara, according to Rashi, mention the pasuk Ataros v'Divon? There, first of all, there are earlier psukim in Chumash that do not have any targum, do not have any translation. Tosfos writes, "Hayololoma Ruvain v'Shimon." Right? If you look at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, where it says, "Eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael Boi Mitzrayma," right? Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, etc., etc., etc. It lists off the names of the Shvatim over several psukim, and of course, there's no targum, there's no translation of those psukim. You know, because the translation of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda is Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right? So Tosfos wants to know. So if the point is that you have to go through Shnayim Mikra ve'echot Targum, even a pasuk that doesn't have any Targum, you just have to say the pasuk 3 times. So why Ataros v'Divon? Why quote a pasuk from Parshas Matos? Quote a pasuk from earlier in Chumash, from Parshas Shmos. I mean, most people, you know, can rattle off Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda much more easily than Ataros Divon Yazer V'Yazer V'Nimro, right? In other words, that's not a pasuk that comes tripping off the lips, again, for the average person. So, Tosfos writes, Yeshlomar Mishum Hochi Nokar Ataros V'Divon Afal Gav She'en Bo Targum Yodua Elatargum Yerushalmi, Sarch Likros Gimel Pa'amim Ha'ivri, Mikomakom Yoser Tov Likros Pam Shlishtis B'Targum. Tosus notes the following interesting fact, and then he gives a pshat, which is a little bit different than Rashi. Tosfos notes that although there's no Targum Unkulus on our Pasuk, Ataros V'Divon, there is what he calls the Targum Yerushalmi, by which he probably means what we have in our Chumashim as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. As we pointed out earlier this year when we started learning the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, many, many Mefarshim write that it's a misnomer to refer to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, because the Gemara says explicitly in Maseches Megillah that Unkulus wrote a Targum on Chumash, Yonasan ben Uziel wrote a Targum on Nevi'im. So, in other words, Yonasan ben Uziel did not write a Targum on Chumash. You know, it's like the question, you know, the answer to the old question, who's buried in Grant's tomb? Who wrote the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel? Apparently the answer is not Yonasan ben Uziel. Right? So, why is it called Yonasan ben Uziel? Okay, separate question, but, you know, that's probably the Targum Yerushalmi to which Tosus is referring. So Tosus says, in Targum Unkulus, there's no real translation of the Pasuk Ataros V'Divon, only in the Yonasan ben Uziel. And the chiddush of Athilu Ataros V'Divon is that when it comes, you should read Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, and when you get to a pasuk that has no unkulus, but yes, Yonasan ben Uziel, yes, Yerushalmi, you should read that pasuk in the Yonasan ben Uziel, i.e., you know, in the unusual, out-of-the-box Targum, the unusual Targum, even though, you know, ordinarily we don't require the person to read Yonasan ben Uziel, it's sufficient to read the much more compact and much more pshat-oriented Targum Unkulus. So that's Rashi and Tosfos on the Gemara there in Brachos. Both Rashi and Tosfos basically state that there is no Targum Unkulus on this Pasuk Ataros V'Divon. Well, lo and behold, you open up our Chumashim, and there is a translation of Targum Unkulus on this Pasuk. On the Pasuk Ataros V'Divon, V'Yazav V'Nimra V'Cheshbon V'Eloleu Sivam U'Nevau V'Va'on, the Targum Unkulus translates that as Machlauto Umalbashto, V'Chumrim Debes Nimrin, Ubes Chushbone, Ubal Divon, V'Sima Ukvurta De Moshe U'Va'on. Without going into what all of those words mean exactly, but it's clear that they're not just simply, you know, reiterating the names of these places. There's some kind of pirush, there's some kind of interpretation which is going on. So when we look at, on the other side of the page in the Mikraos Gedolos at the Yonasan ben Uziel, we find that what's printed in our Chumashim as Pasuk Gimel and Targum Unkulus is identical to what's printed in the Yonasan ben Uziel. Machlelta u'madbeshta machvar u'beis nimre u'beis chushbone malas mara sheiron u'beis kvurta demosha u'va'on. Again, slight differences, but basically identical between the Targum Unkulus and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. And some suggest that really the fact that we have the, you know, that in our version of Targum Unkulus, Pasuk Gimel has a Targum and is not just simply a listing of the names, is because the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel was copied and inserted into Pasuk Gimel in where we have is the Targum Unkulus. But really, 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 as both Rashi and Tosfos indicate on the Gemara, really, the original Targum Unkulus on that Pasuk simply read, Ataros V'Divon, V'Yazer V'Nimra, etc., 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 an exact replication of the Hebrew terms that are in that Pasuk. So why did some, if that's true, why was it that this Pasuk and its translation was borrowed from the Yonasan ben Uziel and stuck down into Unkulus? The truth is, according to Tosfos that we just saw, it's readily understandable. Because Tosfos writes that although you can be Yotzi Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum on this Pasuk simply by reading the Pasuk three times, if the Targum Unkulus is identical to the Pasuk itself, it's better to read the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. So probably at some point, some Chacham said, oh, well, according to Tosfos, it's better to read the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, so I'll make it easier. Most of the Chumashim are printed with Targum Unkulus, not with the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. So probably at some point, somebody decided, you know what? If for that one pasuk we insert the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, so that way the person can read the pasuk Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum as per the ideal according to Tosfos, that you can read that pasuk as as having that, as reading that pasuk with the Targum Yonasan ben Usiel, with the Targum Yerushalmi. Okay, so
it's just different. It's not really a translation.
I don't know
it's
what you mean.
Because he's using the
Yerushalmi
instead of the
Bavli,
but it's not a translation of the word.
I don't know what you mean. Meaning, the Targum Onkelos just has the pasuk, right? In other words, it's a list of 9 names, and in the Targum Onkelos, it just lists those 9 names. In the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, which is the Targum Yerushalmi, it lists Aramaic words which are an interpretation of those place names. Okay, so that's, you know, that's one interesting thing about this, this Targum Onkelos. This Targum Onkelos in the pasuk may not actually be Targum Onkelos. It may be the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel. That's certainly what Rashi and Tosus seem to indicate on the Gemara. Tosus had raised the question, okay, if you're going to quote a pasuk that doesn't have Targum, so why Ataros v'divon? Why not Ruvain v'Shimon? So Tosus had given the answer, well, it's to tell you that you should say the Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel, ideally, as opposed to simply the Targum Onkelos. According to Rashi, we're not quite sure what the answer to that question is. According to Rashi, who says that the Chiddush, the novelty of the Gemara saying Afilu Ataros v'divon, is that even though this pasuk doesn't have Targum, we should still just read it 3 times, so you're still left with Tosus Kasha. Why doesn't it just say, Kigon Ruvain v'Shimon? That would be a much simpler and earlier pasuk in the Chumash rather than Ataras v'Divon. Ataras v'Divon seems to be really like a pasuk out of the middle of nowhere.
You run into the same problem now with English translations of Sfarim,
right?
In that which have Perushim on the Rashi or something like that, because you don't know if the translator is actually using a simple pshat without the interjection of Rashi or Taisus or whomever.
Right, right.
And that English translation is pure. It's really
right. There's no such thing as a pure translation. Every translation is a little bit of an interpretation, right? So that's always going to be the case. There's a very, very different approach to this, to the Gemara and to the Targum over here, which is presented by the Rabbeinu Bechaye. I want to share a little bit of this and see what he says. So Ataras v'Divon. He writes, Me'eret Sichon Melech HaEmori Hoyu. These areas, these cities, originally belonged to Sichon, who was defeated by the Jewish people in Parshas Chukas. V'yesh Mehen Mekomos Shel Avodah Zarah. And among these 9 cities are places of Avodah Zarah, She'emorim Ovdim Shom. Right, which were places of idolatry used by the Emorim. Vehem Nevo uBa'al Me'on. Specifically, Nevo and Ba'al Me'on, right, which are the 2 last places that are mentioned here in the pasuk. And he brings a pasuk from Yeshaya that indicates that Nevo and Ba'al Me'on are places of Avodah Zarah. Then he writes as follows. V'tirgem Unkelus haPasuk hazeh. If you look in the Targum Onkelos, he translates this pasuk as follows: Machlauta umalbeshta shofan ubeis nimre ubeis chushbana ubeil devana v'sion ubeis kavura de Moshe uveon. Right, so the Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes the Targum Onkelos the way we have the Targum Onkelos. In other words, as opposed to Rashi and Tosus and the Gemara and Brachos, who both say explicitly there is no Targum Onkelos on this pasuk, or the Targum Onkelos on this pasuk is just really just a cut and paste of the pasuk itself. It's a list of names. The Rabbeinu Bechaye quotes Targum Onkelos the way we have it. In other words, that it's an interpretation of these names. And he says the fact that it's an interpretation of these names reflects the fact that many, if not all, of these names are places where Avodah Zarah was worshipped. The Hizkir B'Ksasam Lashon Beis. So to try to analyze this Targum Onkelos, the Rabbeinu Bechaye says, the first thing that's very noteworthy is that on a number of these places, the Onkelos inserts the word base before the actual name of the place. So for instance, The third place that's mentioned is Yazer v'Nimra, right? So in the Unkelus we have v'Kumrin debeis Nimrin, right? So the word Kumrin actually means idolatrous priests, a Komer, and beis Nimrin is clearly a translation of the word Nimra. But why does he make it into base Nimrin? It's just Nimra, right? Where did the base come in? And then the next word as well, v'cheshbon. Cheshbon, the Unkelus translates as base chushbone. So again, maybe the word cheshbon in Aramaic comes out to be chushbone. Okay, I get that. But where did the word base come into this discussion? So says the Rabbeinu B'chayim, kichein loshen razal b'talmud, shekarin kein hamikomo shel avodah zarah. When Chazal and the Gemara refer to a place of Avodah Zarah, they always refer to the place by prefacing it with the word bay or base, you know, house of. Kegon bay nitzrifi, bay avidon, bay durbi, avda de bay nura, right? So the way that Rabbeinu B'chayi understands is that these places that are referred to in Chazal are names of cities, but they're always referred to as the house of such and such a city. In other words, you know, let's say Lamashal, you know, if there was a, if Bangkok was a place of Avodah Zarah, which it might very well be, you know, so Chazal would have referred to it as base Bangkok, right, as opposed to just Bangkok on its own, right? What's the significance of that? Why put the word base there? It's to indicate that, you know, that if the city is called after an Avodah Zarah, which it very often was, you know, for those who worshipped it, you know, rather than refer to the Avodah Zarah directly by putting the word base or bay in front of it, it's a little more indirect. This is the place where they worship that idol. It's not, we don't want to talk about the idol directly, it's the place where they worship that idol. Yeah, right. So the Targum Unkelus says the Rabbeinu B'chayi, by inserting the word base with regard to some of these places, is basically telling us in a backhanded way, these are not just cities. These are cities that were dedicated to Avodah Zarah. In other words, it may have been a whole city that was based around some kind of idolatrous temple and maybe, you know, some monasteries or the like, you know, where the priests lived around that particular temple. But as the whole area was basically a center of Avodah Zarah. That's these places that were being mentioned by the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven. Ubnei Reuven kishabanu es elu, when the Bnei Reuven and the Bnei Gad, you know, took over these places and they rebuilt them, karu la'osan b'shemos acherim, they called them by different names. Vizeu shekosov musabos shem, Kishinu es shemam likari b'shem acher leman lo yizocher shem avodah zarah. Right. So this is an idea a little bit later in the parasha which Rashi mentions as well. Right. After the whole back and forth, the Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven say we want to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu says that's a really bad idea. They explain no. We are going to go into war. Good. Okay. Back and forth. Moshe Rabbeinu eventually allows them to settle on the eastern side of the Jordan. And then it says in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, or let's even see Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vayivnu Bnei Gad es Divon v'es Ataros v'es Aroer. Right? It mentions that they built up Divon and Ataros, two of the cities which were mentioned here in the Pasuk. V'es Atros Shofon v'es Yazer v'yogbaha. They built up Yazer, also mentioned. V'yes beis Nimra, v'yes beis Haran. They built up Nimra. Ubnei Reuven banu es Cheshbon v'yes El Olay. Right? They built up Cheshbon and El Olay. Again, two of the places mentioned over here. V'yes Nevo v'yes Baal Me'on. And they built up Nevo and Baal Me'on. Again, there are more cities that are mentioned towards the end of the Perek, but basically all of the cities that are mentioned in the beginning of the Perek are reiterated at the end of the Perek, and we're told how the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven redid those cities. They built them up. They had been destroyed. They rebuilt the places. Musabos Shem. And they built Musabos Shem. What does Musabos Shem mean? So Rashi over here writes that Hoyu Ha'emorim Korin Aram Al Shem Avodah Zarah Shelohem. These non-Jews, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, called these cities based on the names of Avodah Zarah. Ubnei Ruven Hesebu Eshmam L'Shmos Sacherim. And when the Bnei Ruven built them up, they gave them new names. L'Hosev means to turn around. So Musabos Shem means the names were turned around, the names were changed. V'zel Musabos Shem. Nevo Baal Ma'on Musabos L'Shem Acher. Right? They took the original names of the city, they changed the names of the city, because the names of the city were associated with Avodah Zarah. They were named after the Avodah Zarah. It was, you know, the whole city was called based on the Avodah Zarah that was worshipped in that place. So in other words, the original Pasuk, Ataros V'divon V'yazir V'yagba V'nimra, is essentially a list of names of Avodah Zarah. So comes the Rabbeinu B'chai, and he says, based on that, we can understand the Gemara in Brachos. V'lachach Amru Chazal, La'olam yashlim adam parshiyosi v'matzibur shnayim mikra ve'echot targum afilu ataros v'divon. Right? What's the significance of afilu ataros v'divon? His kira kosev azeh, this particular pasuk is the one that's mentioned by the Gemara. Why? L'fishi yesh bohen shemos shel avodah zarah. Because the whole pasuk, ataros v'divon, etc., 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 is basically the names of avodah zarah. Shel oto markevon shai targum hukiru shakosev. Maybe you would think that since this is, I mean, how many psukim in the Torah do you have that are basically just a list of idols? Right? This is really the only one. Right? But despite the fact that there's this just list of idols that are there, you might think maybe we shouldn't have a targum of this pasuk because we don't want to translate the pasuk. Mela, the Torah wrote it down. Okay, the Torah write it down, you know. But maybe we shouldn't translate it. To translate it is to get us a little bit closer to connecting to that pasuk. Maybe we shouldn't say it Shnayim Mikra Ve'echot Targum. So therefore, Al Kein Bo Chachamim Lomar Sha'af B'Pasuk Hazeh Roy Lazkiro Shlo Lahakel Bo. No, even this pasuk, which essentially is just a list of Avodah Zaros, we should still read the Targum, and the Targum is an explanation of the fact that these are places of Avodah Zarah. It explains what the names mean in the context of the Avodah Zarah. So even though by reading the translation you might be drawn to the Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, Shnai Mikra Ve'echot Targum still applies to it. So again, you know, just to summarize, the Rabbeinu B'chaye clearly argues with Rashi and Tosus. He clearly holds that the Targum Unkulos that we have does exist on this pasuk, machlelto, malbeshto, etc., etc., etc. Aye, so then what's the chiddush of afilu ataros v'diva? The chiddush is, even though the Torah is essentially giving us a list of places of Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, it's just as important to translate that pasuk and to, you know, to bring it closer to our understanding through the Targum as it is to translate any other pasuk in the entire Torah. That's the Chiddush. Not that it doesn't have a Targum. The Chiddush is that you would think it's a Pasuk that would be, you know, something we try to run away from. No, we embrace, if that's a Pasuk in the Torah HaKadosha, we read it, we translate it, we don't treat it differently than any other Pasuk, even if the subject material is so foreign, you know, to put it mildly to us in that kind of way. Yeah.
Big heads up. You know, Moshe's anger is really misplaced. He says, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael to help your brother. She said, you're picking these places over Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's what he should have said.
Right. Or to put it a little bit differently. So, okay. So the Torah does list off the names of these places. Right? And despite the fact that they are places of Avodah Zarah, we read it, we translate it. But why does the Torah list off the names of these places of Avodah Zarah? Why is it so important for us to know? In other words, I can't identify where these places are. It doesn't really help me, you know, to know the names of the places. And the fact that these were ancient temples to Avodah Zarah, okay, You know, why list off the names of the Avodah Zarah, especially in light of the fact, you know, as the Pasuk in Chumash, Hashem Elohim Acherim Lo Saskiru Lo Yishama Al Picha. You're not supposed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah. So how do you understand this?
Okay.
So Rabbeinu Bechaya himself, that was the first part of the Rabbeinu Bechaya. The second part of the Rabbeinu Bechaya, essentially he raises this question. He writes as follows. B'tzarech shetisponen, ki od yesh b'binyan arim elo v'shmosan inyon nistor. You should know there's something deep and nistar Kabbalistic involved in the mentioning of these names. And, you know, there's something deep that's going on over here. What is it? So let's try to present the surface of what Rabbeinu Bechaya presumably is talking about over here. Timsa b'posik zeh tisha shemos keneged tisha vayomer shebebreishis. There are 9 times in Parshas Bereishis where it says vayomer Elokim. Right, we know Chazal tell us Basar Ma'amaras Nivra Ha'olam. Chazal also tell us that it only says Vayomer Elokim 9 times in Parshas Bereishis. Bereishis Bara Elokim itself is considered to be one of the Ma'amarim. So there are 9 cities that correspond to the 9 times where it says Vayomer Elokim. The 9 times where it says Vayomer Elokim themselves correspond to 9 of the Spiros, the emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory that come down from the heavens down to the earth. So in other words, there was something about these 9 places that intrinsically was extremely holy. The Rabbeinu Bechaya goes on to explain essentially the following. I'm going to take a look inside. I'll just try to summarize. Extremely holy. Right? In other words, there was something very spiritual about these 9 places. This was not, it was not simply the case that the local Kna'anim randomly picked 9 places to worship Avodah Zarah. In a certain sense, they were onto something. They were correct to identify these places as possessing tremendous spirituality, except they warped the spirituality of those places. They took the innate spirituality of those places and they twisted it into places where they wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. When the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven wanted to conquer these, wanted to take over these places, it wasn't simply that they wanted a place for their cattle, that's what they say in the Pasuk, but in a sense, they wanted to do something along the lines of what in later Jewish history would be referred to as being Mala the Nitzotzas, that they wanted to take these places which inherently had tremendous spirituality, had been misused by the Emorim, and they wanted to rebrand them and capture that innate spirituality that these places had to be able to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch. According to that, you understand why, on the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't yell at them for picking out these places. Achutz, but you picked out places of Avodah Zarah. That's the best you can do, right? He understood their kavana was to take these places of Avodah Zarah and transform them, as they were really meant to be, into something that would enable them to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And indeed, that's what they do. Musabos Shem. They change the names of these places, but they recognize that there's something very, very spiritual about these particular places. One of the places, the Targum writes, was the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevo. Right? That's the Targum writes, Kvurto de Moshe. Right? So clearly, wherever Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, you know, is a place of tremendous spirituality. People go to all kinds of kvarim, right? The kever of Moshe Rabbeinu certainly, you know, had something very, very holy attached to it. So that's what they were trying to do, says the Rabbeinu Bechaye. And that explains the fact that the Torah sees fit to mention these 9 names. Why mention names of Avodah Zarah? Why tell us that we have to do a Shnai Mikra ve'Echad Targum? Why would the Torah even do that? And the answer is that these places had Kedusha which had been misused. The Torah wants us to acknowledge that Kedusha and acknowledge how the Kedusha was taken by the Bnei God of Bnei Reuven and redirected in the proper fashion. Okay, Rabbi Chananel ben Akasha Omer Ratzah Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lezakus Es Yisrael Lefikach Hirbo Lohem Torah Umitzvos Shenemar Adonai Chofetz Lema.